Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning. This is Charlie Moss. This is a recorded edition of Sip and Chew because Mike and Stu are airborne, headed for Beverly Hills, California for the National Taste Awards show. Now we join Stu recorded a recent National Food Championship in Gulf Shores.
But this is Mike McCloud. Hi, everyone. I'm the CEO, and someone called you the mayor of Wolf.
I was thinking head bottle washer works as well.
Well, usually any great mayor has to be able to change bottles and wash dishes and throw out the trash. So I guess it kind of fits.
All right. Well, what do you think so far, Richie? Right. Think anybody's cooked anything worth eating?
Maybe. over 4,500 dishes so far, yeah, I'd say there's a good chance. We've had some incredible food, and I'm just delighted with how this championship has gone. There's so much going on that we're trying to fit it into the awards programs every night, and the awards programs are becoming their own marathon programs. But we're going to tighten it up a little bit tonight. Today it's down to 5 more champions, and we're excited. We're going to finish strong.
I think so, too. I've had a busy week here, doing a lot of stuff, cooked a lot of food.
Have you eaten some good food?
Yeah, I have eaten a little bit of good food, a little bit. The shrimp they had in the VIP tent that Alabama Gulf Seafood provided the other night, just good old bull shrimp like we used to down here in the Gulf Coast. It's probably my favorite meal so far. And you know, Dan Navarro and Chris Sherrill, they just kept shoveling at us. And, you know, for a guy that grew up on that, it was nice to have a little slice of home.
Right, absolutely.
And I think everybody here, if they go around, they're going to find some slice of home no matter where home is.
Yeah, I think everybody brings a little slice of home with them. You know, we have 45 states and about 15 countries represented here at the championship. So all of those teams are bringing some of their own little personal and regional and home influences into their dishes. So we're seeing a lot of things that you and I haven't had before.
Right.
Because of that, we're good old Southern boys. When you have teams like the Barbecue Weasels out of Germany, you get a few surprises. So. But they're performing pretty well. So
they were a lot of fun. You know, I mentioned during our show that they were next to me in the tent during the end. Hey, this is Stu. I'm at the Tasting Pavilions at World Food Championships. And I've told you there's got a lot of new neat ingredients and things being here. And I'm with one of the guys now. And sir, you are?
I'm Richard with Red Truck Beef Jerky.
Oh, we both love beef jerky on the show, my co-host and I both. We recently tried python jerky. It wasn't that great, but we've had it. But we've had some local beef jerky people come on the show before, and our people love it. So tell me about your beef jerky.
Back in 2009, I've been coaching for a long time, been in the nutraceutical business, and I noticed that there's a lot of jerkies out there that had some stuff in it I didn't like. You know, some of those chemicals that we're trying to get rid of and not put in our kids' system.
Yeah, that the cowboys didn't have 100 years ago, did they?
10-4, right. So I set out to find a jerky that was a better piece of meat with some seasonings on it that were all natural. And in 2012, I came up with Red Truck Beef Jerky. But from 2012 to 15, it was a tussle getting it on the show.
Right.
We bumped into some people at McCormick and showed them our jerky, and they loved it. Mm. They said, you know what? Maybe we could do some business together. And for about 6 months, we went through some testings and tastings, and then we were the first ones to come out with an Old Bay, that world famous Old Bay.
I love Old Bay season.
People love it so much they got it tattooed on their body or something.
Well, I don't know about all that, but to me, that's the best thing to put in the flour for your fried chicken.
It's awesome,
great
isn't it?
Great old fried chicken, yeah.
We're the first ones to have it on a top round beef jerky.
Top round. Oh,
well, 6 months ago, buying McCormick and us were loving the sales, and they go, we want to do another deal with
it. Okay.
Even bigger than Old Bay.
Wow.
I said, what?
What's they bigger go, than Old Bay?
Grill Mates.
Montreal steak. Now, these I have had, and they are phenomenal.
We put the Montreal steak seasoning on steak. And we put the other ones, the Old Bay, and then we also have the Grill Mate Smokehouse Maple. They're on top round. So it's not your traditional hard, pulling, thin jerky, and it's not ground and formed and pressed. We actually use real meat, bite off the index, slice it, season it. Seasonings are spot. Wait, people that use Montreal steak go, I've used that last week.
Right, right.
Now they know what to expect when they buy that bag.
It's a great seasoning. I mean, that's why it has gone up like it is. Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of some of your beef jerky, your red truck, your Montreal steak, where can they go?
Well, you know, probably the easiest place is the website. Everybody's got one of those, you know?
Right.
RedTruckBeefJerky.com.
Wow, that's complicated.
I know, it is difficult. Hard for me to remember, too. But you know, if you're in the Mid-Atlantic region, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, you know what? We just got a deal. We're in all of Dick's Sporting Goods, and we just locked in
Food
Lion.
We have some Dick's here in Mobile, for sure.
It's going better now. McCormick's a great partner to have, and we expect a good ride. We got some surprises coming out, too. This is live radio, probably going to be. I can't let you in on a secret, but something's coming out in 2 weeks. That's a big sweetheart, a big barbecue sweetheart, and we're going to have the only one in America, too. It's going to be fun.
All right. I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we are here in the heart of Dixie, in Orange Beach, about to talk to Dixie Dirt. Take it away. What is Dixie Dirt?
Well, Dixie Dirt is all-purpose seasoning. Formulated, when I first invented it and formulated it, I formulated it just to mainly cook Boston butts. And a lot of people would ask me, what would I put on my butts? And I'd just say, well, it's just a seasoning blend that I made. And then someone told me one day, they said, well, it looks like you dropped it in the dirt. And it just sort of, bing, a little bell went off. I said, well, there's my name right there, Dixie Dirt, because it looked like it had been dropped in the dirt. Okay. Where we're from in South Alabama, it's almost a red clay looking dirt, and our Dixie Dirt seasoning looks a lot like the dirt at home. So.
All right, and what makes it stand out? What is your key?
It makes everything. I mean, we use it on everything, and I know everybody says that,
right.
But we use it on, like I say, on pork. We use it on steak. I've cooked the best prime rib I have ever tasted the other day. I've cooked brisket with it. I've cooked shrimp with it. I cook fish with it. We cook deer with it. We cook duck with it. We cook quail. We season vegetables with it. Little red potatoes cubed up with Dixie Dirt and olive oil roasted in the oven. It won't get any better than that right there.
And that's what I just tasted on the cracker, right?
Right.
That's a lot of black pepper, and I love that.
Yeah, it does have a lot of black pepper in it.
That is fantastic stuff. And if somebody wants to get a hold of this, where can they go?
Get it right now online down in this area. It would be online. It's DixieDirtRub.com.
That's easy to remember. Are you going to be available on Amazon or something like that soon?
Hopefully. Get in the marketplace? We're trying to. We're working steadily that way. We're in a few grocery stores, you know, back around home. We're from Andalusia.
That's what I was about to ask. And, what part of Alabama?
We're from Andalusia.
There's a little bit of barbecue up in that area.
Yeah, there is. And like I say, we and a few independent type grocery stores and a few of the, you know, Piggly Wiggly stores, places like that. So gift stores, meat markets, you know, we've got them scattered all over kind of the southeast and a bit like that. So.
All right. Well, thanks for representing.
All right. Thank you very much.
The special California edition of the Sip and Chew Show continues right after the break.
Welcome.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
This is a recorded edition of the Sip and Chew Show. Mike and Stu are headed for Beverly Hills for the National Taste Awards.
Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack. And my friends are just as creepy as me.
And now we rejoin Stu at recorded interviews at the recent National Food Championships.
Mustard.
Yeah, this mustard is from Wisconsin. It's been around for 137 years.
I think so. Yeah,
okay.
I think it's up north somewhere.
Yeah. It's been around, like I said, for 137 years, and we're really out trying to really promote this brand.
I have I was using the Arizona Heat in the burger cook-off yesterday.
Okay.
And I was torn between it and the jalapeno mustard. I was thinking, I should have got the jalapeno, then I tasted that Arizona Heat, and I was like, man, that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some heat, but there's a little sweet to it.
Correct.
But not overly sweet. It's just a delicious mustard, and I heard somebody just raving about the horseradish mustard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, which, you know, that's what goes on the broad right there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And she could tell you, if you open up the refrigerator, we got one bottle of French's for her.
Okay.
And then everything else is... stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a shelf in my refrigerator that kind of looks like that.
Oh, great.
So I'm a mustard guy.
Yeah, these are all our flavors that we have here, from organic to just regular mustards. We have a total of 14 in total, 10 with the regular mustards, and then 4 on the organic.
And y'all have a website?
Yeah, koops.com.
KOOPS.com.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm all over your Facebook.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, so please come out and like us, read what we're putting out there. We're putting recipes out there. Recipes are a really big thing today, because not only does mustard belong in like a hot dog or a sandwich, but it's also used as an ingredient. Many of the cooks here this week, that's what they use the mustard for, not just for, okay, I'm going to put it on the sandwich. They use it as an ingredient.
Yeah, mustard is been one of my favorite condiments. It's of the condiments that we generally use, it's the healthiest by far. It's a wonderful product just for your health, the fermentation, the mustard seed. All of that is great for you. It doesn't have fat, doesn't have a lot of calories. I mean, it's just, and that's why you see me using mustard so much in a lot of shit. It just gives that tang to it. It's just really, really great stuff. So thanks for coming out here and letting us talk to you.
No, thank you. Enjoy your day.
All right. Thank you.
Not at all.
I said, just real quick, tell them what this lift is about.
Yeah, so what we did, I'm one of the founders. We came up with a pretty cool concept of energizing anything but naturally, because there's a lot of energy drinks out there that have synthetic ingredients, also like that are just another energy drink. So it's like the 5-hour shot or the traditional energy beverages. So what we came up with is a really cool stir stick that delivers the caffeine into the beverage.
Right, it's fantastic.
So the response here at the World Food Championship has been outstanding. So what we did is we peeled down this stick, if you could see it. And inside the stick, there's this little powder. And inside that powder is green coffee bean extract and vitamins, A and B. So you can energize any beverage. We took the liberty to energize a water. But this afternoon, we're going to energize a margarita. So, yes, you can energize truly anything. And we're in about 1,000 colleges right now. We're also hoping to be in Walmart. We're also doing a test at CVS. So hopefully you guys will see us all over the place in your local retailers, but we also could get it on Amazon right now under Pure Lift.
Pure Lift,
super
right.
Easy.
And you have a website that people can go to get more information? Or?
Yes, purelift.com. So not
the
like
Lift is spelled with a Y, correct?
You got it,
okay.
L-Y-F-T. And please go try it again. The beautiful thing about the flavor profile is that it is just a hint.
Yeah.
So even like this is the mixed berry. We have lemon, lime, orange, and original is flavorless. So if you're struggling to get a little pep in your step in the afternoon, you can just pop a pour, peel, and stir it into any beverage.
Yeah. How much caffeine is in one of these?
It's a great question. So it's 125 milligrams of caffeine, equivalent to a tall Starbucks. Could you imagine like putting a full cup of coffee into any beverage through this cool stir stick? And when you put it in your beverage, people are going to be like, what is that? And you can just tell them it's all natural caffeine.
Yeah, and the thing that I tried was the fruit smoothie. Yeah. It's just a regular fruit smoothie.
That's right.
Right.
We had a fruit smoothie.
And then you just pop that in, probably the mixed berry. And
yeah, and you could pop open the bottom and just pour it in, too. So it's really, I mean, the delivery system, we hope that's going to be the next best thing coming out of here at the World Food Championship.
Outstanding. All right, well, thanks for spending a little time with us.
Thank
I know you're getting
so
set
much.
Up because a lot of people are going to need your product here in about an hour.
We're going to be killing it today.
All right,
thanks so much.
And I am here with one of my favorite products, Red Gold Tomatoes, and we're just going to talk a little bit.
You have a lot of different tomatoes here.
Yes, we do. That's all we do, tomatoes. We don't do anything else. That's what we're good at, and that's what we've done for 75 years. Okay.
75 years like doing tomatoes.
Yes, sir. Fourth generation family-owned, family-grown company.
And that's why it's so good. I mean, this is one of the premium tomato canners in the world, in my opinion. I love using Red Gold.
Thank you. We think so, too. What's unique about us is that we actually know the growers who grow our products. We've worked with some of them for as many generations as we've been around, so fourth generation family farms with a fourth generation family ran company. Not a lot of people can say that.
Exactly.
We see people talk about, oh, we're family farmed and so forth, but we truly know them on a personal basis and have worked with many of them for years and years.
Yeah, well, you've got a great product. Do you know how many different tomato products you have?
Oh, my goodness. It would depend on the...
Is it more than three?
Oh, definitely more than three. You know, especially when you get into the diced tomato products, you can have anything from the flavored diced to the regular diced. We have the no-salt diced. You know, we've got them in the different sizes. We've got the diced with green chilies and the 10-ounce and a 14.5-ounce. So we've just got pretty much every flavor you want. My favorite is the lime and cilantro green chilies. It's delicious out of the can over tacos. It's my favorite product.
All right. And if anybody wants to learn more about Red Gold Tomatoes, where can they go?
RedGoldTomatoes.com.
And y'all, I believe y'all have a Facebook page, and I think you have an Instagram, and I think you have a Twitter, and I think I follow everyone on it.
Red Gold Tomatoes on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. Yeah, all of them.
All right, fantastic. And
so I'm about to talk with the good folks at Challenge Butter. I love their butter. So let's hear all about it.
Thanks so much, Stu. We are incredibly excited to be back at the World Food Championships. We are the official butter of the World Food Championships. And many people don't know, we're actually a co-op of 400 family-owned dairies out of California. We're a century old, and we just were chosen by Cook's Illustrated magazine as the number one unsalted butter in America.
What's great is you have a salted that I saw that's sea salt. I got several pounds of that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she's a salted butter person. I'm an unsalted, and I think that one's going to go right down the middle on us.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about our butter is it's lightly salted, but we're very exact in our measurements. So about a quarter of a teaspoon of salt in each stick of butter is what you'll find. So you can take that away from whatever you're cooking, or if you like your baked goods a little sweet, savory, then it's just that perfect amount.
And the butter is fantastic. I know we have it locally here in Winn-Dixie's and Rouse's. Where else can we look for Challenge Butter if we can't find it in our grocery store?
Well, Supercenter, Walmart should be carrying it. If you don't see it in the dairy case, tell the store manager that you'd like them to carry Challenge Butter, and we'll do our best to make it happen.
All right, and do y'all have a website if people want to learn more about it?
Absolutely. So challengedairy.com. There's also a store locator within our website. You can also follow us on Facebook, Challenge Butter, and we have the largest butter fan base on Facebook, and rightfully so. Over a million fans.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate it. Thanks for being on Sip and Chew.
Thanks so much for stopping by.
You're listening to a special edition of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on this Sunday morning. It is a recorded program, so if you hear phone numbers given, please don't call. Mike and Stu are on their way in the air to Beverly Hills, California, for the upcoming National Taste Awards. The boys will be back with you next week, and we'll hear more of the Orange Beach interviews right after the break. We'll be right back.
to get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
I know a place where the grass is really greener. Warm, wet and wild. There must be something in the water. Sipping gin and juice. Laying underneath the palm trees. Yeah. And
good Sunday morning, everybody. This is Charlie Moss, and in case you're wondering what's going on, this is a special recorded edition of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Recorded because Mike and Stu are in the air as we speak, headed westbound to Los Angeles and Beverly Hills, California, for the National Taste Awards show. And now, we rejoin Stu with interviews recorded at the recent National Food Championships in Orange Beach.
I am in the VIP area of World Food Championships. I'm sitting here with Timothy Christian. He's the CEO of ACWW, which, for our listeners, what exactly do you do?
Well, first off, it might help to explain what ACWW stands for. Way back when we decided to put together this culinary consortium, a network of people who are very talented and ready to blow up the culinary space, we wanted to come up with an agency name that would be memorable and would force people to kind of do some typing. So we came up with a name called Amalgamated Consolidated Worldwide. And that's what stuck. And then we realized maybe all that typing wasn't such a great thing. You know, so ACWW it is.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the story of Douglas Adams, the writer who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of the names in the book he came up with simply because they were hard to type for a secretary.
It's all about punishing people for loving you. That's really what it is. Yeah. We'll teach those guys.
Okay. Well, what are the products that you've got here at World Food Championship? You've got some really good stuff going on.
Well, so it's, and thank you, I appreciate that. We're very excited to be in this space, and one of the brands that we are most thrilled about, because it is very much about the future and the future needs of the world that we live in, is natural tableware. Mm-hmm. And natural tableware is a line of essentially plates, knives, forks that are 100% chemical free, 100% disposable, but most importantly, 100% compostable. So we make these plates out of palm leaves,
right.
Fallen palm leaves. You don't even cultivate these. We don't pull them off of trees. They're fallen from the plants that they come from. They're layered and pressed with steam, and that's it. So when you're eating off of these sturdy, high design plates, you can throw them out or you can put them in the compost heap, and in 30 days, they're back to Mother Earth.
are you
following up on my request to Angela?
I believe I am. Hold on one second.
He's the one who wanted the extra plate.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm the extra guy here. I'm the guy who came ill prepared.
Instead of going to Walmart and getting bamboo plates, I said, let me talk to Angela about some extra tableware.
And I appreciate it. And just like that, you see the magic of natural tableware.
Exactly.
It's a great set of products. We've got one that's made from palm leaves, and then we've got another one that's made from sugarcane bagasse.
Okay.
And sugarcane bagasse is everything minus the sugar.
Right.
So all of the plant leftovers, they get broken down and pressed with using only the natural sugars that are in the plant itself. They're pressed into these beautiful, beautiful plates. They come out in this very clear white. And actually, from a distance, most people think that they're fine china.
Right.
They're absolutely fantastic. And the story itself is wonderful. There's a group, the parent company is out of Amsterdam.
Right.
And they said that they wanted to get active in North America. They contacted us because of our involvement with the World Food Championships.
And you know, the environmental aspect of disposable dinnerware, it's been convoluted over the years. You remember in the 80s, McDonald's and Burger King put everything in styrofoam, and the environmental movement said, oh, you're destroying the environment. 30 years later, we look back and what we should have been doing was saying recycle your styrofoam.
Absolutely.
Because it was cleaner. But now you've got something where there's no debate. Because styrofoam, if you don't recycle it, is bad for the environment.
Absolutely. We're in a position right now where a number of geologists, a number of people are taking a look at the state of our general consumeristic nature here in the world. They're describing the era that we live in as the plastic age, because in 10,000 years, they're going to take a look. Geologists from the future will look back at Earth, and they'll bore into the ground like they do, and they'll see a layer of plastic. And these are the things that we're generating right now. It's a very tough call for anybody to make a shift away from plastic, but that's our mission. Wherever we can replace and supplant plastic in any capacity, we're doing it. And I'll tell you a great story. We're working with a couple of hotels and a few theme parks right now that are replacing their plastics wherever they can with natural tableware. And what they're finding is that not only are they using a product they can feel very good about, not only coming up with an affordable option for what they had before, but they're also realizing that what they thought was just a price point, something that might cost them a penny more for this type of a plate versus the what they're using right now, actually saves them money, because they're not spending money on water for the dishwasher.
Right.
They're not spending money on labor for that dishwasher who can otherwise be tasked with other things. And most importantly for their brands, they get to talk about this. They get to brag about this.
Right, right.
We are doing something right for the planet in a time when especially with younger generations, they're demanding it.
Right.
And we just couldn't be happier about our involvement, number one, in the World Food Championships. You just heard a second ago.
Right.
A number of chefs, including yourself, are saying, let me use your plates for what I turn in as my competitive entry. And it's something that we're very, very proud of, and we just want to see grow and grow and grow. I'd love to be able to say that this is all about us and our business interests,
right.
But in all honesty, we're thrilled that everybody is moving in this space. Miami,
right.
The West Coast, everybody in the Gulf Coast right now,
right.
Reaching out to us, and we just recently started talking to a distribution group up in New England, out of Rhode Island. And so now we're seeing everybody in the coast that is doing this because they're tired of the plastic washing up on the beaches.
Right, exactly.
So if this is the move that they can make, then so be it.
Right, because our shores are very important to this community, because that's where our bread and butter is economically, and you know, everything that we do. So I want to thank you for bringing such a great product. Now, is there a website or something that, because I got a lot of restaurateurs that listen to the show.
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely. I'll give you two websites right now. First off, naturaltableware.com.
That's easy?
Yeah, very easy. Go investigate our products. We stand by anything. If you want to call the company and you reach out to us, you will talk to the president of Natural Tableware USA. You won't be talking to somebody who is just there to take an order, although if you feel like you want to order, you can certainly do that there. But if you have questions, if you want to do something on a larger scale, when you call, you're going to talk to the president. That's how invested we are in the outcome of Natural Tableware in the marketplace in North America. And then, of course, there's ACWW. And our website is ac-ww.com. And there you can find out more about our culinary consortium, smart people like yourselves who are getting involved in making the change that needs to happen in the marketplace. And the one thing that I will add to that is that often when you see change happen in this space, it doesn't start with the consumer ask, which is normally
right.
The driver. The demand is usually the driver. In this particular instance, it's the people inside the industry, the back of the house guys, the chefs, the executive chefs, the managers, the bar managers, the people who are affecting change right now are the people who work in this industry, and it's something we can all be proud of.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, I want to thank you for joining us on Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Hey, this is Stu, again, World Food Championships, and I am here talking to one of my favorite biscuits I've ever tried, and that's not even what they're selling. They're here selling their jellies, which are just phenomenal. Heather's over here with a mouthful right now, just jamming it in. Hi, jamming. Get what I did there? Jelly, jam. And I'm here with the owners, and just tell us real quick the name of your company.
My company is the Jelly Queens, and I'm here today with Texas Petite Pies and Cakes.
A perfect pairing, jellies and pies, right?
We actually do events, and we call ourselves Jammin' Pie Texas.
Jammin' Pie Texas, and you're out of the Dallas area?
We're out of Dallas. We're actually on Lover's Lane in Dallas.
Oh, that is sweet. And you've got some interesting jellies here. Can you read some of the names off for me?
Blackberry Prosecco, Spiced Caramel Sauce. We have Sassy Apple Fig, Blueberry Balsamic Glaze, Daddy's Bacon Jam, which everybody loves. We have Blood Orange Lavender Marmalade and Lemon Lavender Curd.
She tried the Blood Orange, the one with the lavender yesterday. Loved it. Loved the punch of lavender from it. It was very floral, fresh. And again, when you market these biscuits, we'll have you back on the show.
We have to find somebody to help us. And then with the pie fillings, we have apple, we have blackberry, we have blueberry, and we have the signature cherry, which we pair with our award-winning chocolate habanero sauce.
Yeah.
So we make chocolate cherry habanero pie.
That's
and then Greg actually makes these amazing Caliente candy, the jalapenos.
Like the cowboy candy.
That's the cowboy candy, but it's our version of cowboy candy.
Yeah, well, everything I have tried from y'all has been just fantastic, and if somebody wants to get a hold of some of these, where can they go?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to thejellyqueens.com.
Queens.
With an S.
More than one queen.
There's more than one queen.
And what about the pie stuff? Is there a website for that?
Their website. I'll let Greg give you his
All right, Greg, tell us about your pie stuff, man.
We're Texas Petite Pies and Cakes, and we started making pies and cakes in mason jars.
Right.
And then our pie filling became popular, so we started canning the pie filling in small jars and large jars.
Yeah, that's a large jar of razzleberry.
Right, and you can use it as a dessert topper for crepes, waffles.
Just pour it over a cheesecake, right?
Ice cream, cheesecake, anything.
How is this stuff you're saying over cream cheese? With some crackers at a holiday party, Christmas party, Thanksgiving, anything, that'll be fantastic. Everybody else is just throwing Tabasco pepper jelly on it. You come up here with some of his stuff, you're gonna blow them away.
Yeah, it's been a big hit. It's kind of unusual for a pie and cake company to do jalapenos, but we tasted them, they were so good that we started making them. We love it.
Outstanding. And do you have a website for people to get this?
TexasPetitePies.com.
Well, that's easy enough to find. I sure appreciate it. Thanks for coming to World
Thank
Food
you.
Championship.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more with this special California edition of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu right after the break. And remember, if you hear phone numbers given, please don't call.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
You're listening to the California edition of Sip and Chew.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. Yeah. I'd be safe and warm.
This is a recorded edition of Sip and Chew because Mike and Stu are on their way to Beverly Hills, California for the National Taste Awards program. Now back to Stu with interviews recorded recently at the National Food Championships in Orange Beach.
Somebody's good at doing something. What's your name, sir?
Gio Phelps.
Hey, Gio. I'm Stuart Donald. I competed in Burger yesterday, but we're doing the live from a radio show today.
Oh, okay.
And so I see that. I got to talk to you. What?
Yep.
I'm guessing you won that in Chile?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Okay.
Last year? Year before?
No. This is this year I'm top 10.
Oh.
I'll be competing at 12 o'clock.
Well, you have her to thank, maybe. Mm-hmm. She was one of the chili judges, one of the 30 chili judges.
Yep.
But, man, good luck. Where are you from again?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Did you do a Cincinnati chili?
No. Right. There's no way a Cincinnati chili would ever make it in this.
Because, but you can make me some.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I've got some cans of it back there. All week I've been cooking for volunteers, so the VIPs. So if you've tried any of the food in VIP town at all, or a large percentage of that was mine.
Excellent. I had some of his burger meat left over yesterday during the burger cook-off in a little time. I broke it down with some of the red gold tomatoes. I made Sloppy Joe's in the VIP camp. I figure if I can't win with the judges, maybe I can win with the sponsors.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I do is I take all the sponsors. They provide me with a lot of the extra sponsor food.
Right.
And then I mix that in and just create new recipes with it.
I did
a Wampler sausage chili yesterday.
Excellent.
And I did a sausage chili mac. I did a Bo's chili, and I did a Bo's chili mac yesterday. So we had four of them. Actually, we had five different dishes that were presented to the VIPs yesterday, about five or six the day before. So that's what I do. I come down, and Mike gives me a spot to throw my trailer. And I've got the one back there with all the American flags surrounding it. Veterans Day, and it's appropriate.
It's good. All right, well, good luck.
Good, thank you.
And,
I wound up with a 99.125.
Woo!
Signature.
My gosh. So, what was your signature chili?
It was a chili mac.
A chili mac.
It had seven different kinds of cheese on it. So it's a very extremely rich chili mac.
It was a cheesy one.
Very cheesy. We're basically going to, why mess with perfection? We're going to tweak it up, and we're going to take it up the next level.
There you go. All right, man. Well, good luck today.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Safe travels back to back
up
to Cincinnati.
Yeah, nice talking.
But I got to tell you, I was so happy when I opened my swag bag and there was a little Boost Off paring knife in there.
That's just a little tease for you.
Yeah, I really like, because I've got a Victorinox that I've had for years that I'm trying to retire out of the chef bag and into the home use. So now I can do that. And it just fits perfectly with all the other Boost Off knives that I already had.
Good.
Yeah, and
so you got a paring knife too?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you what it's
a dinner. Oh, well, we've never seen that anymore, but I would like other people to get to experience your product. Just real Boost Off real quick for people who haven't heard of it. And being a chef, I've known about Boost Off most of my life. But just tell people what this product is. It's from Germany, I believe?
Zollingen, Germany.
Zollingen, Germany.
Which is the capital of our cutlery in Germany. So there's over 200 knife and scissors.
Oh, really?
Yep. Zollingen. That's all they do. So all the components that go into the knives, the steels from nearby and everything else.
Yeah, well, I know that people always think of the Swiss and the Germans. They think their automobile technology, or watches, and stuff like that. But it's the same with knives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a very important part of the culture there. And they, like you're talking about in the town, you're talking about, they take it very seriously. So what is it that distinguishes something like these high-end Boost Off from what you would buy at your regular store?
Well, first, just the craftsmanship of it. I mean, if you look at the fit and finish on these knives, normally when they put a handle on a knife, there's gaps and seams and, you know, the weight, the balance of this. But what it comes down to was right here, too, the steel.
That's
the big thing that people forget about. They want a fancy handle and a certain look, but this is what does the cutting. So it's the steel that's in that blade that makes a huge difference. It's a mixture of five different metals, so that when the customer buys it or the chef, it's sharp out of the box, holds its edge, and resharpens easy.
Right.
And there's precious few knives out there that can say that.
Right, and then that's the difference. And I've always had people come to me as a chef and go, oh, I'm going to whether it be Walmart or Target or whatever, and go, what's a good knife? Well, probably nothing you're going to get from that.
Exactly.
And they'll go, well, this set is $100, and a set doesn't cost $100. A knife costs $100.
You get what you pay for, especially if you're a chef.
Right.
You buy them at the beginning of your career, they're there for your entire hobby.
Exactly. That's similar to a Santuco, but that edge is a little rounded. Is that something specific to Boost Off?
Well, no, it's a Japanese blade shape. You see a lot of manufacturers do it, but we changed it up a little bit by rounding the tip so that you can rock it easier.
Okay.
But this got its start with us. It was going to be discontinued, and then there was a woman on the Food Network, the pioneer woman, started using it.
Oh, yeah, Redrummer.
Same thing with this knife here. The Santoco was on the chopping block, and then Rachel Ray started using it on the food.
Right, and Santoco is a
most of the time that's my generic rifle choice, and I've got a 10-inch, you know, classic I'm a little backwards. My traditional European chef knife was made in Japan, and my traditional Japanese chef knife was made in Europe. You get deals, you get introductory offers and stuff like that. But
exactly.
The Santuco really does most of the stuff for me. But you know, if I'm cutting a 12-inch pizza, then I need my 10-inch knife. And the Santuco's not going to cut it.
Here's another new knife we've come up with. It's a butcher knife.
Feel them. And that's just for laying that and cutting down in there and just.
You can do that, but it's also good for separating ribs, chops, steaks.
Bones.
Yeah, country bones. Yep. And the tip is rounded, so it forces you out of your cut, so you don't.
He's talking about the balance. So you know, that's just balance there.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be intimidated by that look, because actually, we have a great video on it that we cut melons and pineapples with it too.
Yeah, I can. The feel of it in the hand is fantastic, and that the way that is shaped, I could see where I could do a lot of stuff with that I can't with a standard style knife.
Large pieces of meaty fish, people are using it for too. Tuna,
yeah,
salmon.
That was what was getting in my head, was breaking down a tuna loin.
Yeah,
we
shark.
Had a lot of tuna out here.
Yep.
And we had a lot of shark too.
Sure.
You can smell them when they come out of the water.
Sword, that one.
That's a carving knife.
That's the reason why we're here, I think.
I'm a chef at a wedding venue up the road, and we do prime rib a lot, and I have brought back the steamship round.
Nice.
And for a little less expensive thing than the prime rib, it's perfect.
But this one was specifically designed by some people in the barbecue industry. So the tip of that is sharp, so that you completely come out of your cut. You don't end up with ribbon cuts going back
right,
and forth.
Right, right.
Which in competition is huge.
Yeah.
You gotta have that single slice. And that's a little wider on the back end than maybe the slicer you have.
Right.
It
right.
gives you a little more knuckle.
A little more bone, yeah.
Yeah.
That is stellar.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna get out of your way now. We got other people to talk to, and my battery's probably getting low. But thank you for sharing the news of Blue Stall.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. So we're going to wrap it up from World Food Championships here at the Wharf. You see the Ferris wheel, you see the beautiful sky, you see the palm trees. Those aren't indigenous, but we like them a lot. All the barbecue, the tents, you've seen the stars, you got to talk to Bo Jackson, folks. I can't do any more. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. Provolone!
And that does it for today's special California edition of the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu show. Mike and Stu will be back with you next Sunday morning, hopefully with a trophy or a certificate from the National Taste Awards competition in Southern California. Have a nice day, and thanks for listening.
If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna